Nehemiah 6:1. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written: "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem: there is a king in Judah. Now this report will go get back to the king. So come, let us meet together." I sent him this reply: "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking, "Their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed." But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me." So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. After the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some at their posts and some near their own houses." Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been rebuilt. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We have your word in front of us. Cultivate our hearts, soften our hearts. Give us a humble ear to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In September 1666, the Great Fire of London tore through the city, consuming over 13,000 homes and nearly 90 churches. What made the fire so devastating was not simply the intensity of the flame. It was how easily it spread from within, and houses were built too close together, and timber was dry, and the city was utterly vulnerable. And it wasn't an army or external enemy that destroyed London, but what was already within its walls. So it is with the people of God. The church is rarely destroyed, but what happens from the outside. In our nation, it is not persecution or government pressure or cultural hostility that most often threaten God's work. Far greater danger comes from within, from division, gossip, jealousy, pride, and mistrust. The tragedy is that God's people, who are meant to be united around his glorious mission, as we were taught last Sunday, can so easily become distracted by personal agendas or divided by whispers that have no place in the body of Christ. This morning, Nehemiah teaches us that what happens when God's people stay focused on his great commission, even when the fire comes from within. Nehemiah's story teaches us the enemy may not always attack with armies. He attacks with rumors, false accusations, and manipulation and distraction. He knows he cannot destroy the work of God, but he can distract the workers of God. The message of Nehemiah chapter 6 is clear and timeless. Stay on mission. Do not come down. Don't let the fire from within consume what God is building amongst us. The world must be finished, and the work of God must go on. We will look at this passage with the five parts this morning. First, the background, and then four key lessons. Each one calls us to keep our eyes fixed on God's mission for us here at Christ Church and to guard the unity that allows that mission to flourish. Let's look at the first background first. Nehemiah was not a professional builder. He was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes of Persia, a man of high trust and influence, and not one trained in construction. Yet, when he heard the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruins and its gates had been burnt, his heart was broken. He wept, he fasted, and he prayed before the God of heaven, confessing the sins of his people and pleading that God would restore his name among them. And God answered the prayer with great promise. And Nehemiah found favor with the king, received the permission to return, and led a remnant of God's people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But from the very beginning, the work faced opposition. In chapters 1 to 5, attacks came from outside. Mockery, ridicule, and threats of war and conspiracies to ambush the builders. Yet, each time, Nehemiah led the people to pray and to keep working. By chapter 6, the wall is nearly finished. The gaps have been closed, and the project is almost done. And that is exactly when the enemy intensifies his attack. When the enemy sees that he can no longer stop the work itself, he turns his attention to the workers. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem know if they can take Nehemiah out, they can scatter the mission. And so they turn their strategy from military opposition to personal manipulation. And this is a crucial lesson for the people of God. Satan, our enemy, rarely gives up. When he cannot defeat the church from the outside, he tries to corrupt or distract it from within. When he cannot destroy the mission, he targets the hearts of those carrying it out. And so Nehemiah's story is not just about walls and gates. It is about God's great commission with faith, perseverance, and focus in the face of a subtle spiritual attack from Satan. Here at Christ Church, God has called us to a mission, telling people about Christ, making him known. Over the past 10 years, this church has been revitalized for a purpose, for a mission to preach the gospel faithfully here in Crouch End, to be a rescue boat for those lost in dark sea of sin and judgment, and to be a community where the word of God is faithfully taught, lived, and proclaimed. God has been adding to our number. Sunday after Sunday, we can see the new people. The enemy noticed. He desires to distract, divide, and derail what God is building at Christ Church. That is why we must learn from Nehemiah, not just to build, but to stay focused, united, and prayerful until the work is complete. The first lesson, the enemy uses lies to weaken God's leaders and divide his people. As chapter 6 opens, we read the wall has been rebuilt, though the gates are not yet in place. In verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem send word to Nehemiah, asking him to meet them. It sounds innocent enough, a friendly conversation, perhaps a chance to discuss peace. But Nehemiah knows better. He sees through the invitation they meant to harm him. Four times they send the same message, and four times he gives the same reply. Look at verse 3. I am carrying on a great project that cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah understands the work of God will not get done if he abandons it to chase after distractions. He knows that some meetings are traps, some conversations are bait, and some invitations are nothing more than snares. The enemy does not need to destroy him outright. He just needs to lure him away from the world. When the plain invitation fails, the tactics escalate. Sanballat sends an open letter in verse 5. Open letter means public, unsealed, and full of lies. He intends for everyone to read it as if it were true without proof. Look at verse 6 to 7. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, it is true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have been appointed the prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. And there is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king of Persia. So come, let us meet together. It accuses Nehemiah of plotting rebellion against the king and setting himself up as a king in Judah, and of employing prophets to proclaim his rule. It is a slander crafted to sow distrust and division, designed to spread fear among the people and suspicion in the royal court. Everyone who handles the letter can read it. It is gossip disguised as truth, rumor masquerading as concern. And yet Nehemiah does not panic. He does not call a public meeting to defend himself. He does not waste time trying to disprove every accusation. He simply answers in verse 8, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. Then he prays in verse 9, now strengthen my hands. That is the mark of a man who knows his calling, his mission. He refused to descend into petty argument because he knows the truth will outlast slander and the God will vindicate his servant in his time. In every generation, God's people face the same temptation. When lies circulate, when motivations are questioned, and when gossip starts to spread, the first instinct is to defend ourselves and to set the record straight and clear our names. But Nehemiah reminds us the real goal of such attacks is not simply hurt our feelings, but stop the work, stop the mission. If Satan can divide us, distract us, and discourage our leaders, the mission slows and focus fades, and the fire begins to spread from within. That is why unity in the body of Christ matters so deeply. At Christ Church, we must not allow unverified whispers or half-truths to gain ground amongst us. If something concerns a brother or sister, we go to them directly, not around them. We don't gossip. We don't tell people about it. We guard our relationship carefully because the enemy cannot divide the people who refuse to entertain gossip and division. Secondly, God's servant must answer with truth and stay focused on the mission. Nehemiah's calm, brief reply in verse 8 is a model of wisdom. He tells the truth plainly and then returns to work. He refused to come down from the wall to argue. There is no lengthy defense, no emotional outburst, no elaborate attempt to prove himself. He simply answers with integrity and carries on. There is a lesson here for every believer. When we become entangled in drama or distracted by conflict, the mission of God suffers. The world cannot be built while the builders are busy chasing rumors. There is a moment in the Christian life when the most spiritual thing we can do is keep building, keep praying, keep serving, keep preaching, keep loving without stopping to explain ourselves to every critic. The simple principle, the same principle, holds truth for the church. Our best defense against the falsehood is not argument, but faithfulness. Christ Church must not be a people who chase every rumor or respond to every whisper. Our task is to proclaim the gospel, make disciples, and serve our community with love and truth. When the noise rises around us, we keep our eyes fixed on the mission. Nehemiah knew when if he came down from the wall to explain himself, the work would stop. The enemy's tactic was a distraction, and Nehemiah refused to take the bait. So must we. Thirdly, pray for strength, not revenge. In verse 9, Nehemiah records the heart of his response. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. What a remarkable prayer. Nehemiah does not ask to destroy his enemies or silence their voices. He doesn't even ask for vindication. He asks only for strength to continue. His focus is not on being proven right, but on finishing well. When opposition rises, when criticism comes, when the work feels hard and lonely, the temptation is to pray for escape. Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot do it here anymore. Or for God to deal with the people causing us trouble. But Nehemiah's prayer points us higher. He teaches us to pray for perseverance, for resilience, for the strength to keep doing the right things even when it is costly. We need to learn to kneel before God so that we can stand before men. That's exactly what Nehemiah does. His secret to perseverance is prayer. He kneels so that he can stand. In verse 10 to 11, another test comes from within. A man named Shemaiah, one of the Nehemiah's own people, pretends to have a prophetic warning. He urges Nehemiah to hide in the temple, claiming his life is in danger. But Nehemiah discerns that this advice is a farce. God had not sent Shemaiah. He had been bribed by Sanballat and Tobiah to make Nehemiah sin and lose credibility. To enter the temple would be to break God's law, and Nehemiah refuses. Once again, he does not retaliate. He does not strike out. He simply prays in verse 14. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. The lesson is clear. The closer we get to finishing God's work, the more subtle the enemy's temptations become. They may come through the words of trusted friends or voices of apparent wisdom. But the discerning heart prays first. The faithful servant seeks God's strength rather than rely on his own understanding. At Christ Church, we need that same posture of prayer when the work feels demanding. When there are misunderstandings or disappointment, we must not turn inward in resentment, but upward in dependence. Lord, strengthen our hands. That must be our prayer. Not, Lord, remove the obstacles, but Lord, give us the strength to overcome them. Lastly, God will vindicate when the mission is finished. Despite all the schemes, the wall was completed in 52 days. What years of ruin have left undone, God accomplishes in less than 2 months through faithful hands and focused hearts. When the surrounding nations hear of it, they are afraid because they realize that this work has been done with the help of our God. Nehemiah never demands vindication. God provides it. That is the pattern of divine justice. God's servants do not need to win every argument or correct every rumor. Their finished work speaks for itself. The completion of the wall is the ultimate answer to every accusation. The truth has been revealed, not by debate, but by perseverance. Psalm 37 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, he will act. He will make your righteousness shine like the sun and shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. The light of truth always breaks through in God's time. But even after the world is finished, Nehemiah's vigilance does not end. The chapter 6 ends with new challenges. Look at verse 17 to 19. Also in those days, nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, the enemy, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was a son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds, and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Certain nobles within Jerusalem have formed a secret alliance with the enemy, the Tobiah, They sent him letters, report back to him, and even speak well of him to Nehemiah. They report to Tobiah what Nehemiah said. Their loyalty is divided. They have bound themselves to Tobiah through marriage and promises, undermining the unity of God's people from within. Once again, Nehemiah does not despair. Instead, in chapter 7, he acts decisively to protect the work that has been accomplished. He appoints trustworthy leaders, godly men who fear the Lord more than they fear people. He sets guards at the gates and establishes order in the city. He does everything possible to safeguard what God has done so that restoration can continue. It is an important reminder for us as a church. Finishing one part of God's mission does not mean the battle is over. When a season of a building gives way to a season of growth, the enemy still looks for ways to distract. The work of guarding unity and maintaining focus is ongoing. Like Nehemiah, we must continue to appoint, to trust, to pray, to protect the mission God has entrusted to us. When the nations around us see the finished wall, they are forced to acknowledge that this is God's doing. The victory is not Nehemiah's, but God's. That is what we are longing for at Christ Church, that everything accomplished here would cause our neighbors and our community to see not us, but the hand of God at work. Nehemiah ends this section with a sense of completion and confidence. The wall is built, the city is secure, the people are re-established, yet it is also a story of vigilance and of perseverance and of dependence on God. Nehemiah never allowed the fire from within to consume what God had called him to build. He stayed on mission. He refused to be distracted. He prayed for strength. When the wall is finished, all glory to the Lord. For us at Christ Church, the same call remains. There will always be rumors, gossips, accusations. There will always be distractions. There will always be spiritual resistance. Notice, Satan can use anyone outside the wall, also within. Satan tried to use Peter to stop Jesus' mission. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God," which is God's mission, but mere human concerns. We must be sober, not to be used by Satan like nobles and Shemaiah, because of our personal relationship, personal interest, and concerns. There is also a great mission, with a great promise from our King Jesus to preach Christ, to make him known, to make people his disciples. His mission is too important to abandon. If you come down from the world to argue, the world will not be finished. If we divide over whispers, the mission will suffer. But if we stay united, pray for strength, and build with both hands with perseverance, God will complete his work amongst us. To the leaders among us, the message is simple: stay on the wall. Do not come down. Do not be drawn into endless defense or self-justification. Your consistency with perseverance and prayer is your credibility. To every member of the body, be wise with your words. Do not entertain gossip. Speak truth, build up, do not tear down. Protect the unity of this church as though lives depend on it, because they do. Souls depend on the witness of a united church for Christ's great commission. We are all builders in God's kingdom. The world is not finished yet. The mission continues. So together, let us pray with Nehemiah. Lord, strengthen our hands. And let us say together, we are carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Then the world will see, world will say, this work has been done with the help of our God. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is a challenge, and also it is encouraging. Please give us ears to hear and make us humble. Please help us obey your word for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.